The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 12th day of May, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the agricultural energy markets. Closer to the end of this half-hour program, Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, we'll update the numbers from the USDA reports this morning and yesterday afternoon. Should be an interesting show, so stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Public Radio from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Tuesday afternoon. Futures like this in the wheat pit, the nearby May wheat contract for the soft red in Chicago at 582.5, a settlement price 2 cents higher, July at 592.75 up two, and September at 619.5 up 2.5. May corn futures at 419.5 up 6 cents today, July at 427.5, 6.25 higher, September at 436.25 up 6.75. And December corn at $4.48, a settlement price there up 7.75. March contract in the corn pit for 2010 at 458.75, up 8 cents for the day. May soybean futures now $11.37.5, up 7.5. July at $11.17.5, up 1.5. And the August beans down a penny at $10.75. September at $10.23.5, down 1.5. And November contract 3.5 cents lower at $9.79.5 a bushel. January 20 10 contract at $9.83.75, down 3 cents. May bean meal at $39.39, up 11 cents. July futures there at this is the oil at $39.68, up 10 cents. And now the meal, May meal at $3.66.20, up $3.80. July at $3.46.70, up $2.30. June live cattle, 83.20, 7.5 cents lower. The August down 32.5 cents at 83.57.5. And the May lean hog futures at $61.75, up 65 cents a hundredweight. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the U of I. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Futures are not available for the outside markets at this time, so we'll tell you what the weather forecast is. Across the two-state region in Illinois, mostly cloudy skies, some showers and thunderstorms tonight moving in. In Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy, a few showers and thunderstorms likely towards morning. Lows will range from 47 in the northeastern parts of Indiana to 60 in the far south. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy, windy and warmer, periods of showers and thunderstorms. Some of those storms will be severe with heavy rainfall, lightning, large hail, damaging wind, and a few tornadoes. Highs will range from 68 in northeastern Indiana to 81 in the south. The extended weather forecast says a significant threat of severe thunderstorms and heavy rain on Wednesday across the Midwest, and that there will be precip that certainly will end the field work tomorrow. Another round of significant precipitation possible across the Midwest Friday and Saturday. And then we'll have a bit of dry weather into the Middle West on Sunday through Thursday of next week. Over the next 1 to 2 weeks, we should, of course, see near average precip, but cooler than average temperatures across the Midwest. That'll mean the rainfall that we're getting this week won't dry out very quickly, as we'll talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, later in the half hour. He'll tell us that the winds won't be blowing either. So if you're going to do field work, make sure you get it done today and try to stay in that field as long as you possibly can. More with Don at the bottom of this half hour. You are listening to the Closing Market Report.
Hey. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
I'm Todd Gleason. This is the Closing Mark Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, is on the line with us this afternoon. Hi, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, let's go through the numbers very quickly from USDA this morning. USDA is now predicting the carryover for the current marketing year, the 08-09 year, for corn at 1.7 billion bushels. That's down from 174. Beans at 165 million, down from the 185. Global carryout at 143.3 for corn and million metric ton, down from 144.62. In beans, it's 45.84, down from 49.95. And wheat at 158.10, up from 155.85. Interestingly enough, it left the Argentine beans at 39 million metric tons for production. And that still is down from the 43 million metric tons that was predicted earlier in the year, but much larger than most had expected. I think probably if we look at the numbers, some of the interesting things were that the trend line for corn was down and that there was about a 50 million extra bushels in usage in ethanol for what, this year, is that right?
This year and next year, that Todd, as we kicked on in, I think that basically the increased exports and for 50 million and the increased exports for 50 million, or increased use for ethanol to give us 100 million cut back, knocking us down to the 1.6 on the corn from 1.7 we were most of us were looking for was last month, the average guess at 1.687. So that, and that also gives you a lower starting inventory for next year, and of course they did cut the yield about a bushel for the fact that we are getting late in planting this crop. And as you said, if we don't get it done today, it looks like it's going to be at least a week before we get back in the field in this area, at least through the central Midwest here, Todd. So the strongest report was, of course, for the corn, and that's how the market traded today, but not quite with as much enthusiasm as everybody thought. But there was word that the western Midwest, where the planting's been going on, was more than willing to sell 450 December corn. So not in our area where we're not seeing the planters roll, but on the area where they've got over half their crop in the ground, where they're willing to sell at that level.
Well, they're selling, and that's holding down the rally that many had expected today. It still seems that Chicago is not convinced that a corn crop won't be raised in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and aren't particularly worried about it. Will they get worried in the next week?
I would say if next week at this time, we're still looking at under 20% in both Illinois and Indiana, there'll be some concern, Todd. But I think that we are seeing progress in certain areas of Illinois, certain areas of Indiana today, and it'll roll on in through tonight. And, one of our customers told us he's got 60 rows going out there. He's got two 24s and a 12-row planter running today. And, corn goes in the ground awfully fast.
Did you believe USDA's trend line yields? They were under the trend line yields.
You mean under the trend line yields for the corn, Todd? I think that probably does go. And I'm doing that more so not because of the planting date, but because of the conditions that some of the corn is going in. We're going around ponds in the fields over here, what's going into less than adequate conditions. And what was planted early, the stand, what I'm hearing is not very good in some of the spots that were wet and stayed cold, and our population would be down in some areas and because of that. So I think that that was probably well warranted.
USDA also, and this was expected, of course, increasing ethanol usage, I think, next year by 350 million bushels. But that was just to meet the mandate, right?
Well, we're not sure what it is. We're sitting over here. We've got Linden just up the road that's been shut down since the first of the year. We've got our ethanol plants not running, and yet we see them increasing some of the usage on these. We don't know it's because of the just the pure fact of the mandate or the idea that maybe the government might be looking ahead to raising the mandate up to 12% on some of this, Todd. But that, and also as we look at the screen today, I see crude oil up for July, trading at 59.81, and we said the crude oil have to get many times on Commodity Week. We've talked about at least $60 crude could help our corn price, so, and ethanol usage. So we're getting close to that again.
Wayne, anything else to let me know before I go, before you go?
I think, you know, one of the things that was a little bit of a surprise was Russia is once again, for the second year in a row, going to probably produce more wheat than the U.S.
Thanks much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and of Commodity Week. You can hear both of those programs on our website. The address is willag.org. Don't forget while you're there to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. It's over on the right-hand side of the page, about halfway down that page at willag.org. You'll see links for Commodity Week and the USDA reports if you want to go back and check those out. Each and every time a report comes out of any consequence to the corn, soybeans, or wheat, we post it right there under the USDA tab, including the weekly crop progress report. Speaking of which, nationally, 48% of the corn crop was planted by the week's end last week, on par with last year's pace, but 23 points, or more than a week behind the five-year average, according to USDA's crop progress report released yesterday afternoon. Producers in Iowa continued to plant at a rapid pace last week, that despite much of the state receiving rainfall again. With field work in full swing under favorable conditions, the most progress was made last week in Nebraska and Wisconsin, where 26% of the crop was planted during the week. Progress in Illinois, at just 10% complete, remained over a week behind the previous year and more than 3 weeks behind the average. We'll hear more on that in just a moment. Emergence evident in 14% of the nation's corn crop, compared with 10% last year and 28% on average. Development was behind the five-year average pace in all states except for Iowa and Nebraska for the corn. On the soybean side, by May the 10th, producers had planted 14% of their soybean acreage nationwide. That's up 3 points from last year, still lagging by 11 points over the five-year pace. Winter wheat now. 40% of the winter wheat crop was at or beyond the heading stage by the week's end and 6 points ahead of the 2008 crop, but 8 points behind the five-year rolling average. While maturation neared completion in Arkansas and California, the most development occurred in the Kansas area, where 29% of the crop put on heads during the week. Overall, 46% of the crop was rated in good to excellent condition, compared to 47% last year and 1 year ago. Now, here are statisticians from Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Nebraska, and Minnesota, the top five corn-producing states in the nation, with updates on their areas.
This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 10, 2009. Much of Iowa received rain again last week, with the heaviest amounts falling in the north central and northeast portions of the state. However, rainfall in most of the southern two-thirds of the state was limited to a half inch or less. A common refrain from farmers is the desire for warmth to aid in the emergence, and a few areas report a need for light showers to help break crusting ground. Corn planting progressed to 81% complete, 10 days ahead of last year's pace and 2 days ahead of the five-year average. 24% of the corn acreage have emerged, compared with 2% last year and five-year average of 23%. Soybean planting advanced to 21% complete, with only 1% of the expected acreage emerged. Statewide, planting progress was ahead of last year's pace, but lagged 5 percentage points behind normal as producers in the northwest and west central areas have over one quarter of their soybean crops planted. Fertilizer applications are 95% complete, 10 percentage points ahead of last year, and 2 percentage points ahead of the five-year average. With reports of some cows having been turned out on grass, pasture and range conditions rated 63% good to excellent. For a complete report by Ag Statistics District, visit our website at www.nass.usda.gov. This is Greg Tayson, director from USDA's National Ag Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending May 10, 2009.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending May 10th. More rain was the story again last week, limiting planting and fieldwork activities. Statewide, there were only an average of a half a day suitable for fieldwork. Southern Illinois took the brunt of rainfall accumulations, averaging nearly 2.5 inches for the week. Topsoil moisture supplies ended the week being reported as 37% adequate and 63% surplus, a small improvement from the previous seven-day period. The driest area of the state was reported in the Central Crop Reporting District, where topsoils were rated 66% adequate and 34% surplus. Corn planting advanced by only 5 percentage points last week and now stands at 10% complete, compared to 55% last year and 84% for the five-year average. This equates to roughly a three-week delay behind what is typically planted by this date. Corn emergence was reported at 3%, compared to 10% 1 year ago and 49% for the five-year average. Leading the state in planting progress was the West Southwestern Crop Reporting District at 18% complete. The soft red winter wheat crop was reported as 21% headed, compared to 15% 1 year ago and 53% for the five-year average. The condition of the crop continued to be rated as fair to mostly good. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the Crop Weather Report for the week ending May 10, 2009. Favorable conditions allow producers to make excellent progress planting spring crops for the third consecutive week. Small amounts of precipitation were reported across the state, with the southwest and south central districts receiving the most, with just over a half inch. For the fourth week out of six, temperatures were below normal. Corn planting advanced rapidly, a week ahead of last year and 3 days ahead of the average. Almost a third of the corn has emerged. Soybean planting is 10 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of the average. Sorghum planting is also well underway. Oat conditions rated 85% good or excellent. Oats planted is virtually complete and most has emerged. Over half of the wheat has joined a behind the average but ahead of last year. Wheat conditions are mostly good and excellent and remained above last year. Alfalfa pasture and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and above year-ago levels. This is Becky Summer of the USDA's NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending May 10, 2009. Spring wheat, barley, and sugar beet planting remains behind the five-year average pace, due in part to saturated cropland across the northern parts of the state. A limited number of producers across northern Minnesota began field work last week. However, most of the area remains too wet for significant progress. Cattle producers in the area were moving livestock to pasture, avoiding muddy lots. Springtime thunderstorms moved across southern Minnesota, with rainfall amounts ranging from 1/2 to over 1 inch. Statewide, 4.6 days were suitable for field work. Topsoil moisture supplies were 65% adequate, relatively unchanged from last week. 14% was rated short as rainfall continued to be light across central Minnesota. Planting progress for most crops advanced last week. However, spring wheat, barley, and sugar beet planting lagged significantly behind their five-year averages. Corn planted at 81% complete was progressing ahead of last year and the five-year average. However, emergence was slower under cool soil and air temperatures. The relatively chilly weather affected the growth of cool season grasses in some areas. Statewide, pasture conditions were rated 35% fair and 48% good. That has been the weekly crop weather for the week ending May 10, 2009. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NAS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the crop weather report for the week ending May 10th. Field work was slowed by the intermittent rain showers again this week. Heavy rains, in some areas nearly 3 inches, fell across the southern and central regions of Indiana. Cool nighttime temperatures and saturated field conditions have significantly delayed corn planting. The current corn planting progress for Indiana is double what we had at this time in 2002, but is about 13 days later than last year and 20 days behind the average planting pace. It has been a challenge to get this year's crop in the ground, and the adverse field conditions has also delayed soybean planting progress. The wet fields have not given Indiana more than 2 days suitable for field work since April 13th. Topsoil moisture was rated 0% very short, 0% short, 38% adequate, and 62% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 0% very short, 1% short, 53% adequate, and 46% surplus. Precipitation range from a low of 0.1 to 2.92 inches. Only 11% of the intended corn acreage has been planted, behind last year's 57% planted at this time, and also the five-year average of 70%. By area of the state, 19% of the corn has been planted in the north, 6% in the central region, and 8% in southern Indiana. 2% of the planted corn acreage has emerged, compared with 17% for last year and 29% for the five-year average. Planting of soybeans for the week also fell further behind the average pace, with only 2% of the intended soybean acreage planted, compared to 17% for last year and 31% for the five-year average. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NAS Field Office.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Each and every Tuesday, we take a look at the agricultural energy markets. Once a month, Stephen Platt joins us from Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. He's on the line this afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about the agricultural energy markets, and maybe we could take it up in reference to this morning's USDA WASDE numbers, the supply and demand figures. They're showing now that ethanol usage this year will be 3.75 billion bushels, and next year at 4.1 billion bushels. That's an increase for the 2009-10 year of 9.3%. I suppose that meets the mandate. Do you think it will actually happen?
Yeah, I would not be surprised, particularly if we see a more stable environment for the ethanol producers, that certainly could be achieved. And with some of the mandates that we've seen and movement in terms of the new or the current administration toward biofuels, that certainly is going to be a priority.
Tell me how you view the marketplace at this point. Does it support that kind of level, on, given the president's priorities, the uptick in the price of crude oil?
Well, certainly the uptick and more stability that we've seen to the market certainly helps. And the one factor maybe working against the market at these levels in terms of the crude, gasoline, and even diesel is probably the high inventories. But I think at some point we'll work through those, that the demand will actually come back. But that still is a big question mark in terms of the economic prospects here as we enter the second half of this year and into the first half of 2010. And I think that's still a source of concern and could be a source of weakness in terms of possibly not meeting that objective and also weakening the energy complex in total from these levels that we've seen arise here. The dollar is going to be a big key, I think, too, in terms of the prospects. Recently, we've seen a lot of weakness. If that starts to show some stability, we might actually see some support to the market.
Stephen, we'll talk to you again in a month.
Sure enough.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Stephen Platt with Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois. It is an affiliate of Archer Daniels Midland, and we appreciate his help. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The unit manager for a Champaign hotel says three occupants have yet to move out or make alternate plans to do so once the electricity is turned off. Residents at the Gateway Studios on North Neal were told late last week the owner had unpaid utility bills and Ameren was pulling the plug today. Most of the residents there are low income, and social service agencies have been scrambling to help them find other places to live. But the director of the tenant union on the University of Illinois campus says many of them may be homeless if those temporary arrangements don't pan out. Esther Pat also questions Ameren's reported stand that because the Gateway is a hotel, it was not obligated to warn individual tenants. Governor Pat Quinn says deeper spending cuts can't be made as the deadline for a new state budget approaches. Quinn said his proposed budget already cut pretty darn deeply, in his words, but the Democratic governor has faced calls to cut more as he pushes a budget that includes an income tax increase. Quinn said his administration is preparing to release details of a doomsday budget that would show what will happen to human services, education, and health care if people who advocate deep, deep cuts get their way. Quinn says such a budget would harm the people of Illinois. Indiana's State Budget Committee has ordered a new revenue forecast that it hopes will paint a more accurate picture of the state's finances before lawmakers meet for a special budget writing legislative session. The forecast will examine recent revenue projections and annual tax collections to see where the most recent forecast missed the mark. Latest numbers from the Illinois Department of Public Health show 554 confirmed cases of H1N1, or swine flu, statewide, including 249 in Chicago. Most of the other cases were clustered in northern Illinois. The mayor of Gibson City wants more cars rolling out of the town's dealerships, and the city is offering an incentive for people to buy. The city has bought $30,000 of what are so-called Gibson City Bucks. The Chamber of Commerce has used them to encourage people to buy locally, but the offer will be extended to car buyers. They'll get $300 in vouchers to local businesses for every new car they buy. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We always talk with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He's here this afternoon. Hi, Don.
Hey there, Todd.
How are you today?
I'm doing good.
All right. Tell me about this weather forecast that we have coming up. You know, I would worry about the guys in the Western Corn Belt. They're probably only worried that they might get a rain shower so they can get the crop through the crusty ground. Out in parts of Illinois where we are, in Indiana and Ohio and to the east, they just like the rain to stop, and you're going to tell us that Iowa's going to get it, and we are too, aren't you?
Yeah, and that's the way it's looking now. Some of those Western Corn Belt areas may be able to get some rain here over the next week or 10 days, especially looking ahead into next week. I do see places like Nebraska and eastern Kansas, the eastern Dakotas, southern and southwest Minnesota getting into the action a little bit down the road. But unfortunately, as you just highlighted there, that the Midwest and the Corn Belt and the Eastern and the Central areas, really all of the Corn Belt east of the Mississippi and areas along the Missouri, going to get a very good chance of moisture. Amounts are going to be anywhere from 1.5 to 2.5 to over 3 inches, maybe 4 inches of rain in some areas with this next series of showers and heavy thunderstorms that will be moving on through.
Well, let's start with the first one. I think I saw that overnight, and this is the last time I saw this, that they were talking about really rough weather for parts of Missouri, central Illinois, eastern Illinois, and on into Indiana, I suppose. Is that still in the realm of possibilities tomorrow?
It's certainly looking that way. There's going to be a very strong cold front that's going to pack a good punch in terms of being a front that's going to cover a lot of territory. So what we're going to have is a widespread area of rain with embedded heavy thunderstorms that will stretch from northern and eastern Oklahoma through eastern Kansas, through Missouri, through Illinois, Indiana, into eastern and central Iowa, then all the way up into the southern Great Lakes region. And it's not a terribly fast-moving cold front. So what will happen is this is called training, where you get rain and thunderstorms to form, and then right behind that rain and thunderstorms will be another line, like freight trains and a rail car going on through, and this tends to produce very heavy amounts of rainfall.
Well, that's ugly. How long will it last?
Well, unfortunately, Todd, we really don't see this pattern breaking. Now, the precipitation event will probably go about 2.5 days. There'll be a break, but then we'll probably be looking at a similar situation developing towards the middle to the end of next week. So there is going to be a gap between rain events, but each rain event looks to be heavy enough, it's going to be hard to dry out in between them.
Yeah, a gap, but not long enough gap. And any wind, high temperatures in between there, at least to help dry things out?
I wish I could say otherwise, but the forecast is for temperatures to be averaging a little bit below normal for really most of the nation, especially from the plain states east all the way to the east coast.
So you're telling me at this point that the best bet in Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio looks like about the 25th of May, and even then you can't be all that certain.
That's right, because what we're seeing is that while there are indications from some little subtle things that we look at the weather pattern that a summer pattern is wanting to get going, we are still looking, and we talked about this last week, we're still looking at a fair amount of cool, moist, energetic air in the North Pacific, Canada, and up in the higher northern latitudes that are continuing to offer up these opportunities for these areas of rain and thunderstorms to develop. And it may not be until early June before this pattern wears itself out.
Don, thanks much.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You've been listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Todd Gleason.